A press release for the event was released, which read, "The Weatherly Area High School Alumni Association will sponsor Judy Shepherd, president and founder of the Matthew Shepherd Foundation, at the Weatherly Area Middle School Auditorium on Wednesday, September 26, 2018. The first program, a student assembly, will begin at 9:30 a.m. It will be followed by an evening forum for the communities of northeastern Pennsylvania, also held in the Weatherly Area Middle School Auditorium at 7 p.m. There is free admission and parking for everyone in attendance." The notice continues. In 1998, Matthew Shepherd, a 21-year-old college student at the University of Wyoming, was brutally beaten beyond recognition, tied to a fence, and left to die. Matthew succumbed to his injuries 4 days later. His mother, Judy Shepherd, founded the Matthew Shepherd Foundation, and through her efforts, the United States Congress passed the Matthew Shepherd, James Byrd hate crimes legislation, and President Barack Obama signed it into law. Mrs. Shepherd travels globally on a mission to one day erase hate, the foundation's motto. That from a press release to invite the community to attend a special event featuring both Judy and Dennis Shepherd, the parents of Matthew Shepherd, presented by the Weatherly Area High School Alumni Association on September 26th here in northeastern Pennsylvania. The visit by the Shepherds coincides with the 20th anniversary of their son's death in 1998 on October 12th. As it happens, the University of Scranton Players will open their production of The Laramie Project, a play that explores the murder and the community of which the Shepherd family was a part, on the 20th anniversary itself. And the University of Scranton Players were able to attend the presentation by Judy and Dennis Shepherd and to meet and talk with them. All of this simply happenstance and an encounter that has enriched the players' experience of the Laramie Project many times over. Nicholas Yanni plays Dennis Shepherd, among other parts, and Bob Gasper directs. They paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about the piece, and Bob Gasper begins with some history.
The Tectonic Theater Company went to Laramie after this had happened. They were curious about what was happening. You know, it sort of became one of those news stories that just caught on. And it was before Facebook, before Instagram, before all of those. So it was probably AOL at that point. But it caught on as one of those news stories. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then the whole country was focused on this. And this theater company decided, you know, we should go out there and do some interviews. They didn't really know where they were headed with it. But they ended up putting it all together and making this piece from it.
What age would you have been when this story broke?
Well, when Matthew Shepherd died, I was not even 1 year old yet. So I was very young. And then when they did the interviews, I was probably about 3 or 4 when they were finished. After the time the trials happened, I was probably about 4 years old.
I was kind of shocked that it was 20 years ago already. And we open on the day that is the 20th anniversary of Matthew Shepherd dying, which was sort of, it was just a weird coincidence. It wasn't planned that way. I mean, we knew it was 20 years later, but we didn't know it was like to the day that we were opening the show. So it's sort of synchronicity happening there.
Bob, what were the results of this piece in the community itself? Did it open up dialogue? Did it get premiered there?
They did it in Denver first, and then they did it in New York City, and then they brought it to Laramie. They make reference to it in the play. They say, what are you going to do with this play? And they tell her, well, we might bring it back here to Laramie. And she says, oh, well, there's stuff that I won't tell you then, you know, because it was about the people of the town. So she didn't want to say anything bad about people in town. So she kept things.
And how did you work with the actors, Bob, in terms of the fact that it was based on a real story?
Well, there's 10 actors in the play, and they play probably close to 100 different characters. I think there's 90 some characters plus. Then we've added a few little things here and there. So we've been just developing the characters mostly from what each character wants. I've been trying to pull it out of the people, the actors that are in the play, rather than try to layer on top of them what these people actually were or historically. We've done some research into it, but not a ton, because I thought it was better to keep it real, to keep it coming from what the characters themselves want and how to pull that out of these actors. So it was more alive for these actors more than anything.
I think the interesting thing about the characters that I believe it was very reflective on the world at the time, how Americans dealt with Matthew Shepard dying, what their opinions were. Because in Laramie, there's a bunch of characters that have different opinions on this. It like really is reflective on the entire world.
It wasn't just universal perspective.
Yeah, yeah. And there are a lot of gray area. And even with people who supported Matthew Shepard, some of them still had questions. I mean, it wasn't just black and white.
There were people that supported, that were upset with Matthew Shepard dying, that didn't agree with homosexuality. Like, one character specifically goes through a change, and that's very interesting about his views on homosexuality. And it's just very interesting to see.
We actually went last week. The Shepherds, Matthew Shepard's parents, Dennis and Judy Shepard, were in Hazleton, and we went down and saw them speak. And again, just synchronicity at work that they were there last week. It was crazy. And it was really fascinating to listen to them talk. And they met with us afterwards, and they talked about the play, and they said, if there's anything you need, let us know. It was super generous. I don't know how those two do it. I mean, they go around from school to school, and it feels sometimes like they must still be living a funeral for 20 years, just, you know, we're in a receiving line. People still come up to them and say, I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm so sorry. They have so much grace. It's unbelievable. But they talked about the fact that it didn't matter if he was gay. You could substitute black. You could substitute women. You could substitute anything in there. And it's a universal story. So that was really good to hear and to learn from him, and that he felt that way.
Nick, what did you take away from that?
Yeah, it was very... It was very interesting, especially because I played Dennis Shepard. And so, like, meeting him in person, just the way he acts and the way he deals with himself specifically was very interesting to see that. I mean, like, that the actual character you're playing, like, that's never happened before in my life. Mm-hmm. And so it was very, just meeting him in person really was incredible.
How about in terms of staging, when you talk about all these characters and everything? We know the theater you have is a marvelous space.
Mm-hmm. We have a great design team working on this show, and we wanted to keep it as simple as possible and do the bare minimum, but also help tell the story. You know, it's mostly just storytelling, and the costume designer especially is trying to bring out each one of these characters. And so they start in a basic look as a bunch of actors, but then each person puts on jackets, or they'll adjust their hair, or I mean, it's really subtle, and it's happening in front of you. They never leave the stage for the whole show, so it's been challenging, and just in terms of trying to find how much we need or how little we need, and we've been trying to keep it to how little we need, just to keep it simple, just simple storytelling.
What about sound design?
We have an alum who's written original music, Kylie Lotz, who goes by the name of Petal, is the name of her band / I think it's like her moniker. Mm-hmm. She's written an original song, and that is at the end of the play. And throughout the play, there are little snippets of it and various riffs on it, and she's done it in different ways. And it's really great.
Yeah, the music's very good. Her music just brings a great tone of what we're going for, I believe.
Right. She was a student at the university. I think it was about 8 years ago. I taught an acting class there, and she was in the class. And I decided we were going to do monologues from the Laramie Project. So I called her this summer, and I said, well, we're actually going to do the play now. So and she has a whole singing career that's taking off, and she's doing really well. And she's on Spotify and all those things. And you can listen to Petal and download her songs. And she's written this original song for us. So we feel really lucky to have her and to be playing it.
It's really a beautiful song, too.
And we talked about when she was writing it, I, you know, gave her all these other references that I was thinking of, and she was, you know, immediately brought it right up. So she's been great about it. And she's so quick. I'll videotape little segments and send them to her, because she's living in Philly, and say, you know, we need a piece that's like 20 seconds long for this spot right here. And she sends it back the next day. So it's been great.
Is there something Brechtian about this? Do we want to be distanced from this and think about it in terms of the implications for our society?
Definitely, definitely. It's a very theatrical piece, and it's very much, it is a group of actors telling a story, and you're always aware of that. And we never try to pretend to be something different. I mean, they become each character in the moment, but it's always people putting on a play that are creating that moment.
What I love about it is that we're not trying to make it this big thing. Like, this is the answer. This show is the answer to everything. We're more trying to, like, lay out, this is what happened. These were the facts. And if your opinions change because of this, then that's great. But we're not trying to do anything here.
When you say the family was suggesting in their presentation that you could substitute women or people of color or whatever the situation is, is it that part of it that makes it speak to us today?
I think, I mean, a lot of the gay issues also speak to us today that haven't changed in 20 years. It's kind of remarkable. I mean, I know we've moved forward and we have gay marriage, but there's still so much progress to be made, and there's still a lot of biases out there. So I think that it's healthy to talk about those things. And I think, if anything, the play is a conversation starter to have those difficult discussions and just make the discussions more commonplace and not have to, it doesn't have to be a taboo discussion to talk about these things.
Yeah. Why it's so relevant today is because there seems like there's a lot of division in our country. And I think it's just very important to, like, as an audience, to just say, hey, we're all here. This is just what is the right thing to do? What is the right way to go? And I think that this show really just shows that.
And as a student at the University of Scranton, we know the University of Scranton is very keen on values and ethics and reflecting on our lives and on our relationships with each other. This seems like this would be wonderful for any of your classes. Yes. Like that.
Yes, I mean, the university is big on Jesuit values, and this show really brings a lot of them here. And it's very interesting to see how, just like as I said, because there's so many characters that as an audience member, you could see, are they a good person? Are they a bad person? How are they dealing with this situation? How are they dealing with that situation? And so just having a full grasp of the entire people of Laramie is just very interesting to see, to, as an audience member, to see how these people are reacting to this situation. And you can sort of see what the right thing is and what the wrong thing is and make your own opinion off of it.
There's a lot of gray area there. And it takes on religion in the play, too. There's a section where there's a Baptist minister, a Mormon, a Unitarian, mm-hmm. and a Catholic priest. So, and they all talk about their views. And they're all part of Laramie. So they were part of the people that got interviewed. And Nick plays the Mormon mm-hmm. in that scene. And he also gets to play Fred Phelps, who was protesting at Matthew's funeral and at the trial. And then mm-hmm. he plays Matthew's father. So he has a big range.
Yeah, I have a big range, which makes it kind of difficult. But it's very, as an actor, I like a challenge like that, to discover different things with different characters. Like, it's amazing to see, as an actor, it's a challenge, but it makes it very enjoyable to have a different range, you know?
And also, you know, when you're playing Fred Phelps, we were looking for, like, well, what would be the positive reason to him that he would be doing this? Mm-hmm. And he really believes that he's saving people's souls, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, Bob brought up a good point. I originally played him as an evil character, but he told me, like, why is he saying this? He's not just trying to be evil. What he's saying is he's trying to be right. And so you have to dissect that person as a character on
right.
why he's doing this.
He really believes he's going to save people's souls.
And he believes Matthew's in hell.
Yeah, and, you know, there's signs in the show, Matt in hell. And, I mean, they held those signs up for real in Laramie at the mm-hmm. trial and at his funeral. It's mm-hmm. But there's a great scene where Romaine Patterson, who's a real person, also a radio personality, she had this idea to wear these angel outfits. I don't know if you've ever heard the story, but it's in the play. They put on these huge angel wings. So they just stand there and they block people from seeing Fred Phelps, so they don't need mm-hmm. to experience his hatred. And, you know, nobody is really doing anything against the law.
Iconic.
They're just being very peaceful, just standing there as angels. Mm-hmm. So it's going really well. And the designer has come up with a very creative solution.
It's a beautiful scene.
Yeah. And they just did a celebrity reading of it in New York for the 20th anniversary of it. And Dennis Shepherd was telling us he was sort of the surprise guest in the show. He read his own part for the first time ever, mm-hmm. which, you know, just gives you chills when mm-hmm. you think about it. It's a speech that he wrote that he delivered during the sentencing of the trial. And they did pieces of it in the play. And that's what Nick does in the mm-hmm. show. And I asked him about writing it because I said that must have been such a hard thing to write. It must have taken you so long. That he worked in Saudi Arabia. He said he had just flown back. It was like 55 hours door to door, basically. He hadn't slept. And his wife said, you know, you need to make a statement at the hearing. And he wrote it in 2 hours. And
if you read the speech, it's one of the most incredible speeches I've ever heard.
And I said, it must have just poured out of you. I mean, I guess. And he said, yeah, it did. I said, well, you know, it was a full year after Matthew died. So did that make it easier? I guess it had all, you know, congealed and come into this one. You know, he was able to just say everything he was feeling at one time, and it just poured out of him. It's kind of incredible mm-hmm. just to have him there. And he said, yeah, I guess it was a year. I mean, I don't know if he had thought about the timeline. It was so fascinating to be talking to him. And they're such real people. It was just, they could be your parents easily. They were those kind of people that just, you know, salt of the earth kind of people from Wyoming.
Nick, do you remember a phrase from that speech? Anything stick with you?
The Dennis Shepherd speech. There's so many good parts. I think just, he keeps calling Matthew his hero. Throughout the speech, he calls him a hero like 3 times. And I think that's so important because Matthew is a hero, but not just to him, but to everybody in the world. What he did and his impact on the entire country is just, it's so great to hear. Because even, you said the play is constantly being done, I think it's just relevancy. It's very relevant in today's period. And I feel like until we get to that point where we view everybody as equals, it'll still be relevant. And that's why Matthew Shepard is a hero, because it'll just keep being relevant until we get to that point. And that's why I think it's so important that he calls him his hero, because he's our hero as well.
Yeah, I think it was important for him to let people know that it doesn't bother me that my son is gay. You know, so he talked about that a lot still when we saw him last week. They're still going around the country talking about the fact that it's okay to be gay and my kids are gay and that's great. And, you know, who cares? And, you know, they're out there fighting for equal rights. And they're pointed out that you could still lose your job in Pennsylvania for being gay. So you don't have equal rights yet.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you lesser than another person? And why are these people treated less? And so it's still really important work to be done. It's a really powerful piece, and it isn't all sad and heavy and, you know, dark. It has some lighter moments, but, it definitely makes you think, the piece.
Is it with you when you're walking across the campus? Is it something that's hard to get?
It's funny you mention that, because sometimes I'll come home from rehearsal, and it'll stick with me a little bit. But I think that's not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing, because as just a reminder of just Matthew Shepard and what he did.
And there's a point in the play where they talk about, you know, tell your children every day that you love them, you know, stuff like that. It really, you know, really resonates and makes you think every day. So, you know, I've been sending my children texts. You know, if you can bring people closer together that way, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want Nick to do some of that speech?
Yes, if he
you
can.
Think he will?
No, I'd love to. My son Matthew did not look like a winner. He was rather uncoordinated and wore braces from the age of 13 until the day he died. However, in his all-too-brief life, he proved that he was a winner. On October 6, 1998, my son tried to show the world that he could win again. On October 12, 1998, my firstborn son and my hero lost. On October 12, 1998, my firstborn son and my hero died 50 days before his 22nd birthday. I keep wondering the same thing I did when I first saw him in the hospital. What would he have become? How could he have changed his piece of the world to make it better? Matt officially died in a hospital in Fort Collins, Colorado. He actually died in the outskirts of Laramie, tied to a fence. You, Mr. McKinney, with your friend Mr. Henderson, left him out there by himself. But he wasn't alone. There were his lifelong friends with him, friends that he had grown up with. You're probably wondering who those friends were. First, he had the beautiful night sky and the same stars and moon we used to see through a telescope. Then he had the daylight and the sun to shine on him. And through it all, he was breathing in the scent of pine trees from a snowy range. He heard the wind, the ever-present Wyoming wind, for the last time. He had one more friend with him. He had God. And I feel better knowing he wasn't alone. Matt's beating, hospitalization, and funeral focused worldwide attention on hate. Good is coming out of evil. People have said enough is enough. I miss my son, but I'm proud to be able to say that he is my son. Judy has been quoted as being against the death penalty. It has been stated that Matt was against the death penalty. Both of these statements are wrong. Matt believed that there were crimes and incidents that justified the death penalty. I, too, believe in the death penalty. I would like nothing better than to see you die, Mr. McKinney. However, this is a time to begin the healing process. To show mercy to someone who refused to show any mercy. Mr. McKinney, I'm going to grant you life, as hard as it is for me to do so, because of Matthew. Every time you celebrate a Christmas, a birthday, the 4th of July, remember that Matt isn't. Every time you wake up in your prison cell, remember that you had the opportunity and the ability to stop your actions that night. You robbed me of something very precious, and I will never forgive you for that. Mr. McKinney, I give you life in the memory of one who no longer lives. May you have a long life, and may you thank Matthew every day for it.
Yeah, it's
powerful.
What Kylie did, who wrote the music, is she looked at that monologue and she was impressed with it so much, obviously. But she took the metaphor about the wind and made that into the song. And the song is called Wyoming Wind. And she just repeats that a lot of times. And it really, at the end of the play, it really adds up and it's just beautiful. So it's been very challenging and great to work on this, and it feels like such a privilege.
Mm-hmm. But it's good. Even though there's times where it's very hard, it's a good thing that we're doing.
Thank you.
Bobby Gasper, director, actor Nicholas Yanni, who plays Dennis Shepherd, and others, speaking with us about the University of Scranton Players production of The Laramie Project, created by Moises Kaufman and members of the Tectonic Theater Project, and it will run October 12th, 13th and 14th, and again the 19th, 20th and 21st, in the Royal Theater in the Joseph M. McDade Center for Literary and Performing Arts on the campus in Scranton. Friday and Saturday performances begin at 8, Sunday shows at 2. The Players will host post-show discussions after both Saturday performances to offer an open space where people can explore the story. For more information on the web, thescrantonplayers.com, thescrantonplayers.com. The University of Scranton Players presenting the Laramie Project October 12th through the 14th, 19th through the 21st in the Royal Theater in the Joseph McDade Center for Literary and Performing Arts on the campus of the University of Scranton. Friday and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 2. There will be post-show discussions after the Saturday performances. For more information on the web, thescrantonplayers.com, The Scranton Players. The show opens on the 20th anniversary of the death of Matthew Shepherd.
True.